The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show. Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio. I'm Christopher Crum. I'm in studio today with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Matthew McGrath.
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what? If you're brand new to the show, maybe you've never heard of our company, Online Trading Academy. That's who fuels this show, by the way. Well, let me just take a moment and fill you in on what we do at the Academy. And we really focus on a couple of things with our students, one of which is trading the financial markets. And trading is just simply frequent buying and selling in the financial markets. We do it with hopes, obviously, of making a profit by buying and selling. And people do it for, I think, two reasons, one of which, of course, is to supplement your income. So, hey, maybe you're that person that's found your calling in life. You love your job. You love what you do for work, but it just doesn't pay as much as you'd like.
Right.
And so, you know, you'd like to supplement your income. Maybe you've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Robert Kiyosaki has, you know, convinced you that you need to create multiple streams of income and passive streams of income. So trading might be one of those vehicles for that. But people do it because, you know, they'd like to have nice things, I think.
Sure.
Take a five-star vacation, buy that dream home, the dream car.
I've seen just about everything. I help the students create their trade plan, as you know, and the very first part of a trade plan is a mission statement where you lay out very clearly why it is that you're trading. And I'll tell you, over the years, I've seen just about everything. What's amazing to me is how many people do it for charity, actually.
Right.
They're actually doing it for someone else or to benefit someone else.
Right. No, there are a lot of cool things you can do with that money, obviously. But the point is, of course, some people do it because they want to supplement their income, but they want to stay at their job.
Right.
Others, though, are more interested in leaving their job. I think quite a few others.
Right.
I think the statistic is that well over half of America doesn't like the work that they do. And if that's you, well, you know what? You only go around once in this lifetime. You've heard that before. Why squander your most precious asset, the time that you have left on this earth, for a paycheck, when you could just set up some trades in the morning and then go off and do your thing and enjoy the freedom of schedule, the lifestyle, not having other adults telling you what to do, when to
right.
go to work. Telling you've got to work on Christmas Eve. I think I mentioned that last week in last week's show, because a lot of people are told that.
Right.
And I know I had to go on New Year's Day. I went ahead and ordered groceries because I didn't want to go out of the house. And we were kind of, after coming back from a trip, we didn't have stuff in there to eat. And so, you know, there's this online service locally that we can order groceries.
Right.
And the one thing we needed was laundry detergent. Well, the guy that did our shopping for us decided that what we really wanted was dishwasher soap.
Okay.
So I ended up having to go to the grocery store anyway. But I was surprised at how many places are open on New Year's Day.
Oh, yes.
And then I kind of felt myself feeling sorry for these folks at the grocery store that are stuck there ringing up people's groceries because their tyrannical boss told them that, hey, we're open today.
Right.
We want to keep the cash flowing into my bank account, so you're working today.
I would almost say it's the norm now that everything's open on New Year's Day, because I was shocked, too. Everything I needed to do, I was able to do. The hours weren't even shortened.
Right. So if you're that person that doesn't want to have a boss telling you've got to work on New Year's Day, or maybe you just hate your job, a lot of people just chose the wrong, you know, their career path chose them. They found
right.
something they're pretty good at, they can make money doing, and they just continue doing that, but they don't like it. And I honestly think that there's a lot more to life than work, though I think that if you're going to work, you should enjoy what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people want to retire to trade full time, and they want to pay the mortgage with that money. And, of course, we've had scores of graduates over the 20-plus years we've been doing this. Hundreds of thousands of people have been touched by the classes that we teach and have changed their lives by doing it. So that's what trading looks like. You can trade to supplement or replace your income. Now, the other thing that, of course, we can be concerned about or should be concerned about is our long-term investments.
Right.
And investing is different than trading. Trading is daily, weekly, monthly buying and selling, whereas long-term investing, we're buying assets and holding those assets, hoping that those assets appreciate in value over time.
Yeah, with trading, we're trying to extract money today,
right?
Or if you're a swing trader this week, from the market, and we're relying on that traditionally for an extra source of income or our main source of income. Whereas investments, obviously, we're trying to protect and grow a long-term wealth account, like an IRA, for example.
Sure. So that's what we do at the Academy. We teach people how to manage risk in the financial markets. That's what we lead with, first and foremost, because the financial markets are risky.
So we teach you how to manage risk in your long-term accounts, how to ensure the funds that you've used to secure those assets that you're holding in that account.
That's the most important part, by the way.
Right.
Is insuring them.
I mean, think about it. If you think back to 2008, guys, that's almost 10 years ago that we had the market crash. And think about it. If you lost money, what if you didn't have to lose that money? Where would you be at today if it just kept gaining in value? So we teach our students, first of all, how to insure that money in your long-term investments. And I'm talking about your tax-deferred accounts as well, and how you can legally insure that stuff. It's what Wall Street does. But then more importantly, I think along those same lines, is how do we continue then to grow our accounts when markets are crashing all around us? When,
exactly.
You know, everybody else is, you know, experiencing financial doom. How do we stay on the straight and narrow and continue moving our accounts forward?
Yeah, and actually make money. You know, in 2008, the average American lost 39% of their net worth that year. But, you know, savvy investors and those on Wall Street made 39% that year on average, because they're able to make money in declining markets. And we'll go into this, I'm sure, later in the show. But, you know, one of the tools that they use are what are called inverse exchange-traded funds, which do the opposite of the market. So exchange-traded funds, which we preach a lot about on this show because they don't have the fees that mutual funds do. A very popular one is called the SPYDER, which is the S&P 500 exchange-traded fund.
Ticker symbol SPY.
Yeah, ticker symbol SPY. And if you were invested in that during a crash year, you would obviously lose money. But if you invested in the inverse S&P 500 exchange-traded fund, ticker symbol SH, you would have made the same amount that everyone lost.
Right.
And that those are the kind of tools that savvy investors use.
Yeah. So, you know what, if this is interesting to you, if you could see yourself enjoying the freedom of schedule and trading for a living or supplementing your income, maybe you could see yourself with unlimited earning potential and, of course, managing your long-term investments while you create wealth over time. You know what you ought to do? You ought to just do yourself a favor and check us out on the World Wide Web at tradingacademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. Trading Academy is all one word. It's a very comprehensive website. Lots of cool stuff out there. So go out there and sniff around a little bit, see if there's anything that you can benefit from. It's free. Absolutely free. Excuse me. We've got a great show for you guys today. Matt and I spent literally hours putting together content for this show. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. We're going to try and make you laugh a little bit today, and we'll have some fun. But for now, we're going to go ahead and pause for station identification. Please stick around because we'll be right back. This is Power Trading Radio. If you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, well, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath.
So we were talking a little bit about trading and investing in the first segment of the show. That's what we do at the Academy. We've got 45 locations across the United States and abroad now, over 100 instructors that come from Wall Street, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. They've been trained by companies like Goldman Sachs on how to trade the financial markets. And they go into our classrooms and they teach the average Joe how pros trade on Wall Street. And that's why we exist. It's our sole purpose is to teach you how to manage your own money in the financial markets. You know, the financial markets have a bad rap because they're risky and it's complicated. Wall Street's made it seem complicated because of the language of the markets. But you know what? It's really not that bad. What it really boils down to is buying low and selling high.
Right.
That's how we make money buying and selling stuff. And then having different tools in our arsenal, so to speak, to be able to do so. There are activities that we perform when the markets are going up to create income from that. And then there are also different activities that we perform when the markets are going down. Matt was explaining in the first segment about inverse ETFs, how they go up when the companion ETF is going down, exchange traded fund.
Sure.
And so when the S&P is going up, well, then ticker symbol SPY, which mimics the return on the S&P 500, all 500 companies blended, then that's going to go up. But if the majority of those companies, their stock is declining, well, then that exchange-traded fund, ticker symbol SPY, will go down. However, Wall Street, in their infinite wisdom, put together another exchange-traded fund called SH that does the exact opposite of what the S&P 500 does. So it will go up in value or in price when the S&P 500 declines.
Yeah.
And there are about... How many exchange-traded funds do you think there are?
There were 1,994 the last time I checked.
Okay, so there are quite a few of these to choose from. And the exchange-traded fund is really one of my primary investments in my portfolio just because, you know, we want diversification in our portfolio. So we want our money spread across several entities just to make sure that, you know, if one of them goes up and another one goes down, hopefully the one that went up went higher than the one that went down, and we're still making money, right?
Right. And you know, most of the ETFs provide instant diversification.
Of course,
right?
They do.
Without the fees of other products that do that, like mutual funds. And that's the next big benefit of ETFs, is they don't have near the fees that mutual funds do.
Right. So if you look at the ticker symbol SPY, which then mimics the return of the S&P 500, your money... And by the way, these trade like stocks, like shares of stock. So if you bought one share of ticker symbol SPY, that money is spread across those 500 companies that are being monitored by the S&P 500.
Sure.
So you get that instant diversification. And that's just one way that you can make money when the markets are going down.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of different ways to do it. There's option strategies, inverse ETFs that we talked about. You can do a direct short of an asset, a stock, an option, a future, or a currency. That's my favorite way of doing it. And I like shorting something directly because, again, it's a good trader tool if your goal is to create income.
Yeah. A short, by the way, we explain it in pretty much every show, but I'll go ahead and pause a moment and kind of tell you what we're doing there. So, you know, if we run across an asset that is misvalued, in other words, it's overvalued, the price is really a lot higher than what it's worth, then we might be thinking to ourselves, I wish I owned some of that so I could sell it, because this would be a great price to sell it at. Well, in fact, you don't have to own it to sell it, because your brokerage will lend you the shares of stock that you want to sell. It's called shorting the selling short. And you push the sell short button in your brokerage page. Instantaneously, what happens is the brokerage will set aside, let's say it's 1,000 shares. They'll set aside that 1,000 shares. They'll sell it on your behalf at today's price, put the money in your account. Now, your agreement is, of course, that you'll pay a brokerage fee for them to do this. But you also have a side agreement that states that you will give those shares of stock back. You're using them for now. You're going to give them back. Well, if you don't own the shares, how do you put yourself in a position to own the shares? You got to buy them.
Right.
But if, in fact, you are right and the price was overinflated and the price starts to fall, why can't we buy it back at a lower price than we actually sold it for?
Right.
And then make a profit. We're still buying low and selling high. But we buy it back, it's called buy to cover, and then we give those shares back to the brokerage. Did I explain that okay?
Yeah, you did, and it sounds overly complicated, but we mention this in almost every show. It's not. I mean, this all happens with the click of a button when you're actually trading, just like a buy order does. You know, there's no loan agreement that we have to sign each time we do a short. This all happens in less than 1 second. But that is what's going on behind the scenes, which is what allows you to make money when price goes down. The easy way to think of shorting is you're simply betting that the price is going to go down. And just in case we're wrong, if price goes up, we need to limit our risk. And so the way we teach our students to do that is by putting what's called a stop or a stop loss on the trade at no more than 1% of your account. So if you are wrong on that trade, oh well, you lost 1%.
Sure. So we're talking about ways to manage your trade, I guess probably would be the best way to put it. But, you know, the real key to this is identifying what trades you want to take. It's what asset is likely to make you money today. And that means which asset is likely to go down today if you're taking a short position, or which asset is likely to go up today. And we have certain parameters that we really use as guidelines in our rule-based strategy. So one of those parameters is that we're not willing to risk more than 1% of our account on any trade. We're willing to go ahead and lose that 1%. And that's an important part of the strategy. You have to realize that you're not going to be right on every trade. We cannot teach you how to win on every single trade. It's just not going to happen. But what we can teach you to do is how to limit your loss. And if we limit it to that 1%, well, let's say that you placed 4 trades today and you lost on all 4 trades. You got a $10,000 account, so you're risking $400 a trade, right?
Right.
So you know what? You've just lost 4% of your account. No big deal, dude, because guess what? You're in the business of trading tomorrow again, and you can make that money back easily.
Right.
But you've got to lose on all 4 of those trades. If you were deploying our strategy that we teach at the academy, you have to lose on all 4 trades to literally lose your money.
Yeah.
Because if you lose on 3 of the trades... you're going to break even.
And by the way, that doesn't happen very often, because the second part of our strategy is we teach you how to trade alongside the banks. In other words, we're tagging along with their trades, and they're very good at this. So it's very rare that you would have a day that you were wrong on all 4 trades if you're tagging along with the banks. I mean, when you get very good at this, that happens maybe once every 45 trading days. That's how rare it is.
You know, if you lose on 2 of your 4 trades, so that's a coin flip, right? You've lost 50% of your trades today, you're going to benefit wildly. In fact, we center a lot of our strategy around a very conservative view of the markets, in that we think that it's possible that you could lose on 2 trades today. So what? you're profitable as heck. On a $5,000 account, you'll make $200 on that
day. You'd still net profit $200 at the end of the day if you were wrong on half your trades.
Right. If you lose on one of your trades, obviously you're wildly profitable. And there are days, of course, when you win on all four trades.
Yeah, when you're new to this, that happens on average once a month. And I just had a student last week who had his first day of trading live who was right on all four. And that's very rare.
That's exciting.
But you'd make $600 that day for every $5,000 that you have in your account.
Yeah, so it doesn't take that much time to trade if you wanted to do it. If you're looking to supplement your income, we teach our students to place 4 day trades a day. So if you're trading, that's active and frequent buying and selling to create a profit. So you're buying and selling all of the time. So 4 day trades, that means that you would enter the trade after the market opens. So if it's stocks, for example, you're going to buy your stocks after the market opens. But then you'll sell those stocks by the end of the day. And there are only two outcomes that can happen. Either you're going to sell it for a profit or sell it for a loss. I suppose
you could break even.
Yeah, you could break even. It could be the third outcome. But you're going to sell it for a profit or loss or break even by the end of the day and go to cash overnight. Now, we do that because, again, it's an income-producing activity. If you're replacing or supplementing your income, your money that you have in your account is the instrument that you use to create wealth or create money with. So you need to free that money up for the next day. That way you can put yourself in a position where you've got winning day trades.
Right.
The other style of trading that we'll deploy as an income-producing strategy is called swing trading. And a swing trade is when you keep your position open overnight. So you're not going to sell it today. You'll buy the stocks today, but you'll keep it open overnight. And you may sell it tomorrow. That would be classified as a swing trade.
Sure.
Or it could be next week, or it could be in 3 weeks.
Yeah, generally up to a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but not much longer than that. That's a swing trade. Position trading, by the way, is more of an investing style. You're actually going to, it's a buy and hold type of a strategy. You're going to buy it and hang on to it over time and hope that the investment goes up in value. And then, of course, they're scalping the market. And that's what I think everybody thinks about when they think about day trading.
Hollywood glamorizes. They always show the scalper.
Well, they think you're going to sit there in front of a 6-screen computer setup with all these charts and, you know, having to do all this fundamental analysis.
You're doing dozens or hundreds of trades.
Right. And you're trading all day long, when in fact day trading just simply means setting up some trades. And you don't even have to manage it. You don't have to sit in front of your computer or, you know, your software, your brokerage software is automated. So if you just tell it what you want to buy, what asset you want to buy and sell that day, tell it what to buy for, what to sell it for a profit, and then I always put a sell order in for a loss too.
That's critical.
It automatically sells it for a loss at 1% of my account.
Yeah.
I won't let it go any lower than that. I'm willing to accept that 1% loss because I know that on the ones that I gain on and that I profit on, I'm likely to triple the money that I've had at risk.
Right.
That's what I'm targeting. I'm targeting a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio. So there's going to be money in my account at the end of the day, and lots of it, if I'm wrong on two trades.
Yep, that's the whole key, and that's the core strategy that we preach.
Yeah.
What else is there to say?
Right. So, you know, it's not rocket science, and we've really simplified it because, as Matt mentioned earlier, what we want to do is identify where it's likely the banks and institutions are buying and selling.
And that's the whole key, right? I mean, if we just randomly went in and bought at a price and put a target at 3 times what we're risking, we would actually have a lot of days where we were wrong on all 4 trades. The reason it's not too difficult to be right on half your trades is we're not just buying at a random price. What we're teaching our students how to do is how to identify where the banks have buy orders.
Right.
And we're now buying alongside of them at the same price level.
Yeah.
And why do we want to do that? Because the banks are the only ones that consistently make money trading. I mean, they have years where they've only lost on a couple of days, which is just amazing. They've had entire quarters where they've had no loss, no losing days, not one day.
Right.
That they lost on overall trading. And that's why we want to tag along with them. So now, if we're tagging along with them and we're doing 4 trades in a 3-to-1 reward risk ratio, it's not as difficult to be right on just half your trades.
You know, and we're not doing a ton of research into these companies that we're investing in or these options. What we're doing is we're looking at a chart and we've learned how to identify where it's likely these banks and institutions are buying and selling. They make big moves. They've got tons of money. The top five, is it $9 trillion?
The top five mega banks together have over $9 trillion in assets.
So when they buy something, it's big. And you can see it in the charts. Once you learn to identify that, then we just come along like a little mouse. We ride on the elephant's back with our little satchel of money, and we make money right along with them. Instead of banging heads with them and then competing with them, let's just ride along with them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that
Sure.
After the commercial break. But that's how we do it. These banks and institutions, they cause imbalances of supply and demand. And when that happens, it catches the eye of the average Joe out there, 39 million retail traders, and then they want to get in on that price action, and they drive the price up even further. That's what the banks bank on, and that's where they make their money. They sell into those people. Hey, folks, stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Trading Radio. I'm Christopher Crum. I'm in studio today with my co-host and good friend, Mr. Matthew McGrath. And we've been talking about trading the financial markets. And so we've kind of covered a gamut of things in this show today. We've talked about exchange-traded funds, also a little bit about trading the financial markets for income. And, you know, of course, that's the sexy thing that we teach people how to do at the Academy. You know, majority of our students are probably a little more excited about trading the financial markets, that is buying and selling with frequency, than they are their long-term investments.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I think it's probably human nature that people like immediate satisfaction. It's exciting.
Yeah.
When you see that there's more money in your account at the end of the day when you're day trading, it's fun. It's like winning a horse race, I guess, if you will, but we have better odds than horses. And, you know, so, but, you know, a lot of people think that trading is gambling. They think that anybody that goes into the financial markets, they're gambling with their money. And granted, there is a lot of risk that goes with the financial markets. It certainly is gambling if you go into the markets and you don't know anything about the markets.
Right.
So if you're a person that thinks you have an interest in trading and you're going to be like the other 39 million people out there that are trading their own accounts, and you think you're just going to fund an account and then fall across some winning strategy, just stumble into it, well, you know, you should probably guess again because that's gambling.
Now, sometimes the worst thing that can happen is you do get lucky on your first few trades and make a bundle of money, and now you think you've got it all figured out. And, of course, what usually follows that is a huge loss.
Sure. You know what gambling is? Gambling is when, basically, you have poor odds. Certainly, you know, you sit down at a blackjack table and what is it, 48 or 49% odds?
48% if you follow basic.
Highest odds in a casino is through, but then again, if you're not following the rules of blackjack,
right,
then you tilt the odds against you. That 49% dwindles.
Yeah, that's what I was telling everyone. If you're going to trade frequently and you do not have any education, your odds are actually much better at a casino. You know, follow a basic strategy in blackjack or play the pass line in craps, and your odds are at least close to even. But, right, you know, 70% of people who open up a trading account without any education lose their entire account.
Right. You know, I was on a cruise ship, and we did some gambling in on the casino in the cruise ship, and I like to play blackjack. And you know, my wife, who's fairly new to blackjack, because she's sitting next to me, and she drew a couple of jacks, and she said she asked me if she should split those.
Oh no!
So you know that's akin to that's the same person that's going out there just trying some things in their account. You don't know the basic rules of the market if you don't have a basic strategy that tilts the odds in your favor. At least gets you up to that 49% that you have at the blackjack table. Then you're going to lose your money,
right?
And especially if you're gambling all of your money, like I see so many experienced traders do that come into the Academy. Because they'll put all of their money from their account. Every single cent of it goes into a trade. Now, I put a lot of money into a trade, and I put a big chunk of my money into a trade, but I do it with parameters. So there's always a stop loss. There's always a sell order that's going to limit my loss to 1% of my account. You know, if you put all of your chips in the little circle on the blackjack table, you're betting it all on one hand. Well, right, if that hand goes your way, you double your money. But if it doesn't go your way, you simply lose all of your money.
Right.
And it works the same way in the markets. If you're going out there putting all of your money into a position and you're risking all of that money without some type of a stop loss, emergency brakes on the car, then guess what? You can lose all of that money.
Right.
And we see people making that mistake over and over and over again, don't we, Matt?
Yeah, and that's why I say they'll have some big winners, but then they always have big losers as well. So in the end, they're losing money net or at best breaking even.
We know we're going to have losses, just like you have losing hands at the blackjack table. But, you know, at the blackjack table, what we like to do is we like to go ahead and play small bets on when we're going through a losing period. So instead of betting $50 and you're a $5 table, you'd be betting $5 a hand to limit that loss. But then when you start winning and you get into a winning streak, then you'll increase that bet to maybe $20, $25, $50.
Because you're playing with the house's money at that point.
Well, not necessarily, but the point is that you want to put your money into things where your odds are enhanced in your favor. I think that's what I'm driving at.
Sure.
I may not be using a good analogy with blackjack, because blackjack is luck.
Right.
Right? Whereas in the markets, we can take a look at these assets. We can do some analysis. We can identify where it's likely these banks and institutions are buying and selling. We can see where there are imbalances of supply and demand in the charts. So, you can't glimpse at the dealer's hand to see what's underneath there if they're holding a 10 or an ace.
Right.
But we can see an awful lot in these charts that you don't see at a blackjack
sure.
table. So it's not gambling. You will lose on some trades. It's just that you limit your loss on the ones that you lose on, and then make sure that you have big winners.
Yeah.
That's the whole key to it. Making sure that there's more money in your account at the end of the day than what you started with.
Yeah, you win more on your profitable trades than you lose on your losing trades. So
sure.
At the end of the most days, you've netted a nice sum of money.
Sure. So we're going to lose on some trades. I guess my point is that there is an element of risk, certainly an element of gambling, but we use a very tight strategy to manage our trades and to identify those trades that we believe will be good for us.
Right.
And if you don't have that strategy, then you probably shouldn't be in the markets. If you haven't learned it, it's a learned skill. Somebody who trades can teach you how to do it, how to identify low risk, high probability, and high reward opportunities. But if you don't know how to do that, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Right.
So trading, by the way, is, again, frequent buying and selling in the financial markets. We want to buy low and sell high. Our day traders at the Academy, they place 4 day trades a day. That's the sweet spot. That's because then they're forced to look for high quality trades. If you know you don't get any more than 4 opportunities, you discipline yourself. Then you're going to look for high quality.
Yeah, and there's so many reasons that we preach 4 trades in a 3-to-1 reward risk ratio. One, it's hard to find more than 4 ideal quality trades that meet all the ideal parameters for trading in any given day per asset class. So if you start pressing it and trying to do 8 trades a day or 16 trades a day and so on, you have to lower the quality of your trades. And so now you've lowered the percentages that it's going to go the direction that you want it to. The main reason, though, that we recommend 4 trades in a 3-to-1 reward risk ratio is that's what puts you in that box where you have to be wrong on everything to lose money.
Right.
Because if you're wrong on 3 of 4 trades, you're going to break even. If you're right on half your trades, you're going to make $200 per $5,000 in your account.
Uh-huh.
If you're right on 3 of 4, you're going to make $400 per $5,000 in your account. And the rare day that you're right on all 4, but it does happen occasionally, you'd make $600 per $5,000 in your account.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there's a method to the madness in being successful at anything, to tell you the truth. Trading is just one of those things that you can be very successful at if you simply take the time to learn how to do it, and if you're disciplined enough to follow the rules.
That's the key.
You know, a lot of people think that you've got to be super smart to trade. You've got to be good with numbers. You've got to be analytical. You've got to like research. You've got to enjoy doing research, because we've been kind of conditioned that if we're going to invest in stocks, that we need to do a fundamental analysis and research the company to see if they're good. And, you know, in investing, I think that there's something to that.
Oh,
when you're
absolutely
day trading, you're looking for assets, and it's unemotional. You don't care what the asset is. You don't care what the company is. You just care that the price is going to go up today.
Right.
Or in some cases go down if you're shorting the market.
Yeah, we're looking to extract money from the market today. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because so many retail traders and investors, they confuse those two things. You know, investing and trading are two very different things. And you're right, there's a lot of parameters you would want to look at if you're planning on holding something for years, right?
Right.
You'd want to know the company's sales forecast. You would want to know their price-to-earnings ratio. You would want to know their expected growth. There's all kinds of things that you would want to look at.
Sure.
But again, you know, in the workshops that we teach, we actually choose the 4 stocks that we're going to trade that day. And people of that investment mentality can't get over the parameters that we use, because we're not looking at anything like
right.
that.
Like that.
You know, they'll see a company that they know is a bad investment, and they can't believe that we're trading that today. Well, the reason we're trading that today is today it suggests that it will go up or down, and we can extract money from that today. But that doesn't mean that that's a good long-term investment. Don't confuse those two things.
Well, imbalances of supply and demand cause price to move up and down. If there's more demand than supply, then price goes up. If there's more supply than demand, then price goes down. And that's what truly causes these daily price movements in the stock market. And it's not uncommon to go out and find a stock that is selling for much more than what it's actually worth.
Right.
And the reason why it's selling for much more than it's actually worth is because people are willing to pay
sure.
much more. They're speculating that it's going to continue to go up. And so oftentimes that price movement and the price you're seeing is really truly artificial. It's not real.
Oh, nothing to do with.
Oftentimes it's undervalued because people don't want the stock right now, and it's on sale. It's a sale price. Hey, we're going to be right back in just a minute, but we've got to pause for station identification. This is Power Trading Radio. Stick around. Welcome back to the final segment of Power Trading Radio, at least for today. And I think I can speak for my co-host as I do each and every week in thanking you folks for listening into our show today. We love doing the show, and you loyal listeners out here, out there, here's a special shout out for you guys. So glad that you tune in every week. And if you're brand new to the show, well, welcome aboard. Hopefully you'll listen to us again next week.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. We were talking before the break about basically how we choose our trades each day.
And yeah.
We're looking for four trades that are low risk, high probability, and high reward. At least the price point is of that nature.
Right.
And we're really removing all the noise from that. We're not really looking at the company profile, the price per earnings ratio, none of that stuff. What we're looking for is we're looking to identify assets that these banks and institutions are likely to be buying and selling that day. They throw a lot of money into these trades, and then they cause the price to move up and move down because they provide the impression of an imbalance of supply and demand.
Exactly.
And they're like elephants. They just tromp through these price charts, and you can see exactly what they do if you just know what to look for. That's what we teach our students at the academy. How do we identify imbalances of supply and demand that are created by these big moves that the banks move? And then we like to trade right along with them.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris, because I think a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that over half of the orders that are placed each day in the U.S. stock market come from the banks and institutions. Sure. They're not coming from retail investors and retail traders. So that's half the battle right there. If we can just identify where those banks are buying and selling and tag along with their trades, that's half the battle. The rest of it is just using proper risk management.
Yeah, and it's interesting because really as far as the population base of people trading, the two communities, there's a retail trading community, which is the largest community, and those are people just like you and me that are trading our own accounts through E-Trade or Scottrade. Some like you and I use a direct access trade platform. But the other community is the professional trading community, and by far it's the smallest community. Only about 5% of the entire trading community does it as a profession.
Yeah.
The rest of them are hobbyists and people that are trying to do it. Some are want to replace their income by trading their own account. You know, the 5%, they're very highly trained. They know exactly what they're doing, whereas, you know, the 39 million others out there, the 95%ers, don't have a clue. They know just enough to be dangerous.
And that 5% of those trading who are professionals, they're controlling assets that are worth more than half the entire U.S. economy.
Right.
And again, when they're trading, we do not want to be going against what they're doing.
No,
we don't want them on the other side of our trades.
Because it's a competition.
Exactly. A lot of people don't realize that. They don't realize that when we make money on a trade, there's someone on the other side of the exchange who lost that money and vice versa. So, you know, the overall U.S. stock market in 2017, the S&P 500, finished the year up 21.83%. You know, I'd ask all the listeners out there, how many of you got 21.83% in your long-term accounts last year in 2017? You know, I ask that question to every group that I teach, and I teach three times a week here. And only one person all of last year even raised their hand.
Right.
And that's because most retail investors and traders are trading against
the banks.
The large banks.
And they're falling into their institutional traps.
Exactly.
You know, so, but the point that I was going to drive at, because the last segment we were talking about how oftentimes we'll make a selection of something that we'll day trade today.
Right.
That might not be the most popular company.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was a guy in a workshop here a while back. What was the name of that company? They made
It was Tesoro.
Keyboards for...
They manufacture parts for keyboards and gaming consoles.
Matt, oftentimes when he's teaching, he'll go out to a website, to a free online tool that you use, and you can actually enter specific parameters, and then that website will go out and search for stock price that's going to meet those parameters. So he's doing nothing. He's not doing any research on these companies. He's just looking for these parameters that we know set us up in a low risk, high reward, and high probability trades. And he came up with Tesoro was one of them that made the list.
Right.
And one of the, well, I'll let you tell the story.
Well, the gentleman who was at the workshop was visibly disturbed that that's one of the four companies that we were going to trade that day, because he knew about Tesoro. He may even have even worked there at one point, but he was very knowledgeable about this company, and he gave a million reasons why Tesoro's not a good investment. And as we were mentioning in the last segment,
and why they might go out of business.
Right. And again, investing and trading are two totally different things. Again, if I was going to buy and hold Tesoro for years at a time, everything he had mentioned is very true.
Right.
Okay. But again, what we were doing that day was we were going in and out of Tesoro. We were buying into it and then selling later that day to take our profits. And again, all the parameters that are used for determining what is good to trade today pointed towards Tesoro. And by the way, it did go up that day.
And then even later down the road, they were acquired by a much larger company, right?
Yeah, in fact, ironically, it would have even been a good investment if you were holding on to it for the next several months, because I know it went up when it was acquired. Another really good example is Dillard's. Just in the workshop that I taught last week, Dillard's came up as one of the ones that would be good to buy that day and then sell later that day for a profit. That's what trading is. And there was a textile expert in the room who was very knowledgeable of textiles, and she couldn't believe that Dillard's was one that we would be trading, because she had all of this data that Dillard's was not a great company to invest in. And again, she's absolutely right. I mean, it was...
She could be right.
It's not necessarily a strong long-term investment. We don't want to confuse trading with investing. Trading is extracting money today from the marketplace, whereas investing is holding something for the long term and hoping that it grows.
Yeah. So... there are two different activities. We have two different methods and different strategies for each of those activities. If you want to grow wealth over time, that's completely because you're going to buy assets. These are investments. Just like if you were to buy an apartment building, you buy that apartment building as an investment, and it appreciates in value over the time. Your tenants pay off the mortgage with the rent, and when you sell it, then you've made a lot of money. Well, we do the same thing with our long-term investments. We look for companies that are green and growing, not ripe and rotting, if they're stocks. And so that's how we make those decisions. But day trading for income, you're making your decisions based on a completely different parameter and criteria.
Totally different.
And we're not emotionally invested in these companies. We don't care what your opinion is of them. If it meets the parameters, then we'll trade it. I mean, why not?
Right.
Because that's how we make money.
Yeah, that's another mistake that we never discuss on the show that a lot of novice traders make, is they develop an emotional attachment to companies, and it's usually ones that they've worked for. That they have an in-depth knowledge of. And so, you know, they don't want to sell that because they always believe that that's going to go up as well. But I won't tell you how many clients I've worked with that have lost a fortune with that philosophy.
You know, here we don't have a lot of time left in the show, but, you know, something I want to speak to because I had somebody call into the center and actually ask for me last week. And because during the commercial breaks, when people listen to the show, I try to reward you by giving you some free education. We have these workshops that we do. And he wanted to know why there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a free workshop. There's no such thing as free. And I had to say, well, that's not true, because this would be a free workshop if you would have been one of the, you know, callers that qualified for it or could get into it. And we do it all of the time. So why do we do the workshops? Well, you know, not everybody should be trading and investing in the markets. I mean, it's just so a lot of people that are brand new to trading, they don't know if they'd be good at it or not. So we do this as a service for our communities that we have. We have 45 locations across the United States and abroad, and we do these workshops everywhere. But we do it so that people can learn about the markets and see what it's like. And kind of, you know, you walk into a shoe store, you're going to try the shoes on before you buy them. You walk into a car dealership, you drive the car first. That doesn't necessarily mean that we expect that you would buy education from us. It's very right. low-key, laid-back environment to come in and just learn about the financial markets. But it's a service that we do for the communities that we serve. And we've been doing this type of a thing for years. You know, in the workshops, we introduce you to a patented rule-based strategy, something that we teach here. We show you how the banks and institutions make their buying and selling decisions in the markets, how they trade and invest in the markets, how you can be successful at doing it. We'll explain to you that it doesn't take very much time to trade, 45 minutes to an hour at the most to set up four trades, and then you can set it and forget it in your automated software and walk away. Doesn't take a lot of money to get started. You can start with as little as $2,000 in the Forex market. You're not gonna replace your income with a $2,000 Forex account, but you know what? You make $1,900 a month, leave the money in there, let it continue to grow. And we'll explain that to you too, the parameters of trading, how we manage those trades. because we're never going to risk more than 1% of our account on any given trade. How does that translate into profits? How does it translate into you have more money in your account at the end of the day than what you started with? And I can tell you that 7 out of 10 people that attend these workshops have no experience in the markets at all. I would classify them as not knowing a stock from a stick, so it's perfect for them. They understand the workshops, and it's not boring. It's fine. Right. The other 30% are people that have experience in the market, so they understand some of the language, but maybe they just don't have strong strategies for really knocking it out of the park and making money with
it.
So it's suitable for everybody. And if you have no interest in trading at all, it's great for you too, because at least you can have an intelligent conversation with that person that you're trusting your money with, that financial planner that sold you an off-the-shelf product. So they're great workshops. You'll find that trading is a great lifestyle and that you can be financially independent for retirement. You just need a plan, and then you need to, of course, execute that plan
right.
Very well. Well, it has been my greatest pleasure being on the airwaves with you today, Matt. I appreciate you coming aboard. On behalf of our producer, the great Matt Roberts, he's been flying the ship for us today, and as well as my good friend and co-host, Mr. Matt McGrath. Don't forget to check us out on TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan, all one word. And my name is Christopher Crum. This has been Power Trading Radio. Tune in next week, folks. For now, so long.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.